Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Samuel chapter number 2, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 17. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 2, verse number 17, "There was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Azahel. And Azahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Azahel pursued after Abner. And in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, 'Art thou Azahel?' And he answered, 'I am.' And Abner said to him, 'Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor.' And Azahel would not turn aside from following of him." The Bible said in verse number 22, "And Abner said again to Azahel, 'Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold my face to Joab, thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place.' The Bible said, 'And it came to pass that as many came to the place where Azahel fell down and died, stood still.'" I thought about this morning. I was reading back over the text again and my thoughts again. And I thought about this, and I'll probably come back to it before I'm done. I wonder what they thought. When they came there and they saw Azahel laying on the ground dead, the Bible said that everybody that came to him stood still. I wonder what everybody was thinking when they got there. Maybe they thought something like this: here is a young man that has absolutely wasted his life. He laid there dead. I wonder what else he could have done. I wonder how great of a warrior he could have been. I wonder what he could have been used for. But because he was dead, it was all over with. And here's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes this morning: chasing what will kill you. Chasing what will kill you. Father, I love you. Lord, you know the need of the service today, and I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help me, and I pray, God, that you'd help me, Father, recall the things that I've studied. I pray that you give us clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, that you give us clarity of speech today. I pray, God, that you do the work that only you can do in the midst of the people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When we come to 2 Samuel chapter number 2, it's a very, really, chapter number 1, chapter number 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5 are very pivotal moments in the nation of Israel. As we close out 1 Samuel, you'll find that Saul is dead at the closing of 1 Samuel. Whenever 1 Samuel closes out, we note that God had already set someone in place to become the next king over Israel. That was a man by the name of David. Long before Saul's death, God had already set it up for David to become the next king over Israel. You'll find that Saul ends up dying, Jonathan ends up dying, and now you'll find that there is a man by the name of Abner, that ends up anointing someone else king of Israel, and the nation becomes even greater divided and part of them anoint David a king over Judah. You'll find in studying that after that, matter of fact, in chapter number 1, the statement is made, matter of fact, two different times, how are the mighty falling? Saul is now dead. Jonathan is now dead. The nation is divided. And we could say it this way, they practically break out into a civil war. You'll find that there is the crowd that is following Abner, and there is the crowd that is following David. Whenever you begin to look at this today, you'll find that Azahel pursued after Abner. Now, there's something that you need to understand. Abner has already been defeated. Abner is a defeated foe, and Abner is running from the battle because he has lost the battle. But there is a young man that we're introduced to, and his name is Azahel. Whenever we begin to study his life out, we'll find that not much is said about him because we're no more than practically introduced to him. We find that he is laying dead on the ground. What does Azahel do? Azahel begins to pursue after Abner. Even though Abner is defeated, even though Abner has already lost the battle, he begins to pursue after Abner. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Chasing what will kill you. I thought about this week studying. We live in the most informed society that there ever has been. What I mean about that, information is right at our fingertips. We can look up statistics. We can look up several different things, anything that we want to know. It's an informed society. Even though it is an informed society, it seems that there is many in our society today that continually pursues destruction. Even though they know what it's going to do to them, they continually pursue it. I read this week. The majority of teens involved in substance abuse say they knew the risk before starting. They knew what would happen before they ever started it. So here's the question. Why did they start it? Man, why are they chasing after what may just kill them? If they know it's dangerous, if they know it leads to destruction, if they know that it could potentially kill them and destroy their life, why do they continually pursue after it? Why do they continually pursue after it? And let me just say this to you. It's not just quote-unquote kids in the world. It's kids in our churches today. It's kids in our... Why are they doing it? In this passage, Abner is a very experienced warrior. Azahel is young, fast, and determined. Abner is running away from the battle and has already been defeated, but we find Azahel is chasing after him. Can I just say to you this morning, our enemy has already been defeated. Satan has already been defeated. Matter of fact, next Sunday morning, Lord's willing, we'll look at one of the I am statements in the book of John where he said, I am the resurrection. And you know what happened that day? When Jesus arose, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan that day. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan's days are numbered. Satan knows that he's headed to hell one day. But why do we continually sometimes run after him? Why do we continually pursue him? Twice in this text, and I'll come back to it in the message. Twice in this text, Azahel looks at him and goes, stop. Stop. Abner looks at Azahel and goes, stop, man. Just turn it off. I thought about this. How many times has God sent an Abner in your life to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'll use the great saying that the great Lloyd Johnson said. How many times has somebody looked at you and said, hey man, you need to pump the brakes a minute. You need to slow down. You need to wait a minute. And yet it seems not just young people, church, this is for all of us. It seems so many times we continually pursue after what we know has the potential of taking our life, chasing what will kill you. Number one, I want you to see this morning. I see the wrong pursuit. I see the wrong pursuit. He chose the wrong target. He chose to pursue the right thing. And don't you hear what I'm fixing to say? I'm all for getting bad out of our life. All right? Let me say it again. Brother Williams agreed with me. I'm all for getting bad out of our life. I'm all for getting the wrong music out of our life. I'm all for getting the wrong crowd out of our life. I'm all for every bit of that. But hear me and hear me well. We've got to teach people how to replace it with something. He's got the wrong target. The truth of the matter is this. You're going to pursue something. You're going to pursue something. I thought about this years ago. Brother Greg, we used to run them beagle dogs, and man, I loved it. I still love it to this day. And you know, you'd always ask this question if you ever run your dog, somebody, what dog chase a deer, that dog run a deer? And they'd always say this, no, and I'd always want to go, you're a liar. Here's the reason why. Mine wouldn't chase it far. Here's the reason why. It's going to if it jumps up in front of it. The reason it wouldn't stay on it was because there was this thing called tritronics. Now, I'll not go any further into that in case you're a PETA person here today. There was this thing that called tritronics, and it would change the direction in which they was going. You see, when things pop up in front of us, you know what we're going to do? We're going to chase it. But there has to be discipline in our life. There has to be something in our life. Maybe there is an Abner in our life that is going, whoa, wait a minute, your pursuit is wrong. There's the wrong pursuit. I thought about that. He chose to chase Abner. Whenever you study this, he wasn't forced. He wasn't tricked. He knew who Abner was. He knew that they had already won the battle, but he chose himself to do it. One thing that we're lacking in today across the board, not just young people, but across the board, one thing that we're lacking in is this personal responsibility. When you make a choice to do something, if you mess up, then it's your fault that you've done that. Hear me and hear me well. He made the choice, and I'm afraid today that some is making a choice to pursue the wrong thing. There's the wrong pursuit. The Bible teaches that the devil wants to destroy our lives. You also find that he is always looking for an opportune time to cause us to doubt God's word. It's what he does. He causes us to question. It's what he done in Genesis chapter number 3. He didn't say God didn't say that. He said, yea, hath God said. And hear me and hear me well. When you begin to doubt the word of God, you begin to doubt what he says. In this book right here, we are pursuing the wrong thing. Sometimes he attacks from the front. Sometimes he attacks from the rear. Sometimes he attacks from above as an angel of light. Sometimes from below with snares. The thing that blows my mind is why would someone deliberately run after Satan? You know that he's evil. You know that he hates you. You know that his total objective is to destroy your life. But they continually continue in a wrong pursuit. I wrote this down. You already know it's not right. And can I just say something to you right here? If you have to hide it, you're pursuing the wrong thing. If you have to hide a friendship, if you have to hide a relationship, if you have to hide a text, if you have to hide, if you're worried about somebody picking your phone up and seeing, you're pursuing the wrong thing. You already know it's not right. You know it's not godly. You know, according to the Bible, if you're a child of God, it's not going to end well. And yet they continually pursue it. How many times have you as a young person heard somebody give this testimony? Before I got saved, my life was a mess. Here's what alcohol done to my life. Here's what drugs done to my life. Here's what pornography done to my life. Can I just say that? Here's what pornography done to my life. Here's what pornography, you better stay away from it. Better be careful what you, hey parents, you better be careful what you're letting your kids look at. You better put some filters on that thing. You better be checking up, because I'm going to tell you something. Something will get in their mind at a young age, and they'll never get over it the rest of their life. They'll battle it. And you know who's to blame for that? You as a parent. Well, that got real quiet right there. Well, preacher, they've got to have their freedom, and I understand every bit of that, and there does come a time where they become grown-ups, and we have to allow them to start making some choices. I'm telling you, when their mind's innocent and when they're young, we better guard it. We better guard it. How many times you heard an adult say, I wish I could change that. I wish I could go back and redo it. How many times have you heard Abner say, can I just use that? I wish I could have changed it. Or Azahel say, I wish I could have changed it. I guarantee you Azahel would tell us today if we could bring him back here and we could talk to him, I wish I'd have listened to Abner. I wish I'd the wrong pursuit. Number two, I've got to move quickly. Number two, and I could talk so much there. When you're pursuing the wrong thing, let me just say this in passing. You're pursuing the wrong thing, if you're a child of God, God will bring it out. I remember my little mama, she would say this. I'd say, Mom, I'm going to get Miss Leslie and we're going out tonight. And she'd say this, boy. I'd say, yes, ma'am. She'd point that little bit finger up in my face. She'd say, you just remember, I may not be there tonight, and your daddy may not be there tonight, but listen to me, son. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. God will see it. I love you. Have a good night. Can I just say something? The preacher may not be there. Mama may not be there. But God sees it. And God says this, and be sure your sins will find you out. It was the wrong pursuit, number two. There's the rejected plea. I got to move quickly, but watch this. I don't have to move quickly. We've got dinner on the grounds today. We don't have service tonight. I got 2 hours. Watch this. Brother Williams said, again, Brother Williams, the only one that said amen to that. Watch this, verse number 21. And Abner said, turn thee aside. Look at verse number 22, the beginning of it. And Abner said again to Azahel, turn thee aside from following it. There's the rejected plea. Abner warned him twice, but he ignored it. God gives you warnings. Gives them through parents. Gives them through pastors. Gives them through preachers. Gives them through convictions. But young people sit in church today thinking, and not just young people, people as a whole sit in church thinking, that won't happen to me. I'll be fine. I'll get by with it. Nobody will ever find out. Well, listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? It's not a lack of warning. It's a refusal to listen. It's not a lack of warning. It's a refusal to listen. There's the wrong pursuit. There's a rejected plea. He tells him over and over and over, stop. Just stop. Just go another way. You remember what the Bible said? The Bible said this, that with every temptation, you know what that means? All of them. That with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. Just like if you want us to stand up and turn around and look, there's exit signs over the doors. You know what that means? That's a way of escape. That's a way you can get out of here. I'm telling you something, with every temptation that you have, with every struggle that you have, I promise you there is a illuminated exit sign if you'll just look around. Oh yeah, there's the rejected. Please watch this. There's the root of pride. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this in verse number 18. Look back in verse number 18. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, and Abishai, and Azahel. Now, note what it says about Azahel. And Azahel was as light of a foot as a wild roe. In other words, he was as fast, I could say it this way, he was as fast as a deer on his feet. Simply what it's saying. He's as fast as a deer on his feet. He was fast. He had ability. He had confidence. But none of these saved him. People think I'm stronger than sin. I won't get addicted to it. I can stop anytime I want to. They say with meth. And you've heard me talk about this before. Several years ago I done a study on this. And they say that in your mind there is what's called dopamine. And whenever you laugh, whenever you get excited, whenever there's joy, there's a little bit of that dopamine kindly spills out in your mind is what happens. And they say with the first hit of meth, what happens is this, that the whole cup of dopamine that's in your mind, can I say it that way, is dumped out at one time. Every bit of the dopamine that's in your mind, it's dumped out. And when all of that is dumped out, they go on a high that they've never been on before. And the reason that it is an immediate addiction is because they are constantly trying to reach that high one more time. But the problem is this, everything's already been dumped out. So they'll never reach that high again. So then they begin to lace it with other things. Why? Because they are seeking that high again. They're trying their best to reach that high again. And what ends up happening is this. They overdose because they're trying so hard to get to that high again. Today we've come out with Narcan and people give them Narcan. And if you know anything about that or ever been around that, you know immediately when you give it to it, if they respond to it, they begin fighting, they begin cursing you. Why? Because you've just taken them off of their big ride. I want you to hear me and hear me well. You may think you can mess around with it. You may think that you can dabble around in it. You may think, well, I go to church. Nobody will ever find out. Nobody will ever know, hear me and hear me well. Pride goeth before destruction and the Holy Spirit before the fall, according to the Bible. It's according to his pride, man. His pride. I thought about this. It was the root of his pride in his life. The devil isn't intimidated by your talent. The devil isn't intimidated by your popularity. The devil isn't intimidated by your potential. Matter of fact, when you think about your potential and you think about your talent and what God has given you to serve him with, the devil knows if he can pull that in a different direction, he can use it for his glory instead of God's glory. And if you have that today, hear me, you better guard that with all of your heart. You've got a bigger target on your back, and you better understand that Satan is taking bigger and better than you down. He'll take you down. The root of his pride. Watch this, I'm about done. There's the reckless pace. Look in verse number 19. And Azahel pursued after Abner, and going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left hand from following him. Again, Abner tells him, man, you better go after somebody else. Look in verse 21. And Abner said to him, turn thee aside to thy right hand or thy left. Lay thee hold on one of the young men. Take his armor. But Azahel would not turn aside from following of him, his reckless pace. I wrote this down. The same legs that carried him towards danger and ultimately to his death was the same legs that could have carried him away from it. Can I say that again? The same legs that carried him to his death was the same legs that could have carried him away from it. You know what Azahel could have been doing? Listen to me right here. Let me tell you what he could have been doing. He could have been back at camp. You hearing the preacher? He could have been back at camp rejoicing over the victory that they had won. But instead of sitting at camp, can I just say it this way, around the fire, rejoicing over victory, he pursues a defeated foe and ends up dying. Hear me this morning. You can sit around the camp and enjoy the fire and rejoice in victory. The same legs that is carrying you to what will kill you is the same legs that can carry you back to camp. It's the same legs. Some young people aren't drifting. They're sprinting. It's not that they're just drifting. No, listen, Azahel wasn't drifting. The Bible says Azahel was running. Running. He's running. It's not just that he's got off chart a little bit. No, he's running with everything in him. What's he running for? He's running for his death. I see this. There's, Miss Tanya, will you come start playing softly? There's the wrong pursuit. There's the rejected plea. There's the root of pride. There's the reckless pace. But I want you to see this in closing, verse 23. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Did you catch that? He refused to. He refused to. Abner's told him, stop. Stop. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib. The spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. Think about something with me. Abner never missed a step. Abner never misses a step. Abner never even really turns around to fight with him. Abner is so wise. Abner is so smart. Abner is such an experienced warrior that he takes the hinder end of his sword. And his running, takes the hinder end of his sword, smites him, pulls the sword back out, probably puts it in the sheath, and never checks up. That's exactly what Satan will do to your life. He'll destroy you and leave you laying on the ground for everybody else to come by and mock over while he keeps going. It ended exactly the way it was closing. You remember the old statement by Lester Roloff, don't you? Sin will always take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Galatians said, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I wonder, in Azahel's final moments of his life, in his final moment, he's laying on the ground. No doubt he's watching Abner run off. Abner's starting to fade out into the distance. You with me? He starts to slip off into death. I wonder what his thoughts was in that final moment. I wonder what Azazel was thinking. He's laying on the ground. Blood squirting out of his body. I wonder what Azazel's thinking. I about guarantee you I can say what he was thinking. Man, I wish I'd have listened. Man, I wish I'd have listened. I said this in the beginning. I told you I was going to come back to it. I wonder what everybody else thought when they walked up to Azazel laying on the ground dead. Maybe one looked over at the other and said, what a waste. What a waste. Had the rest of his life in front of him. You know, David's fixing to take over king of all of Israel. God's already anointed him for that. He's fixing to do that. And he does in just the next few chapters. You that knows the history of the first five chapters of 2 Samuel. Maybe one looked over at the other one and said, I wonder if he'd have been at the front of the army one day. He was as light of his foot as a wild roe. He has something to mention about him his other two brothers don't. I wonder if they said, man, he would have been at the front of the pack one day. We'd have been listening to him lead us one day. I wonder if somebody's going to walk by your coffin and go, what a waste. Had the rest of their life in front of them. Boy, it would have been amazing what they could have done for God if they would have just wholly surrendered theirself to Him. The ruinous end. His whole life now is gone. I want to ask you this morning. What are you chasing right now? What are you chasing? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it a crowd? Is it a secret sin? I believe the Lord said, turn. Turn. I'm just not talking to young people. Turn. You better go a different direction. Can I just say something to you? If this offends you, then it's biblical and I'm not going to apologize for it. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with believers. And if you pursue things that pulls you away from the house of God, you're pursuing the wrong thing. You're pursuing the wrong thing. Let me tell you something. The very thing that you pursue may be the very thing, oh God help us this morning, may be the very thing that puts you in the graveyard. It was with Azazel. What's your Abner this morning? You don't accidentally ruin your life. I'm trying to be dumb, but I don't mind the Lord this morning. You don't accidentally ruin your life. You don't accidentally do that. Let me tell you what happens. Here's what happens. You run towards a bad decision. And then you run towards another bad decision. Then you run towards another bad decision. And you continually pursue what's wrong. So what are you going to do about it this morning? Bradley Boone said this yesterday. He said, one of the most dangerous places in a saved person's life is when they ignore conviction and they ignore counsel. It's one of the most dangerous places in a Christian life. When they ignore counsel and they ignore conviction. Brother Jeremy said this. He said, I tell you how close you are to God. How long does it take you from the time you commit the sin to the time you confess the sin? If you can commit the sin and it's a long time before you ever confess the sin, there's a problem. And God sent somebody by this morning to say, you're running towards what's going to kill you. You're running towards what's going to kill you. You're running towards it. The same feet that took him to his death could have took him back to the camp to enjoy victory. The choice is up to you. It ain't to nobody else. I get so tired sometimes of hearing people say this statement, you just don't know how I've been treated. The choice is still up to you. Let me tell you how God treated you. Let me tell you how God treated you. Mercy, grace, a tender heart, sent His Son to die for you. It don't matter how everybody else treats us. Mattered how He treated us. And He treated us with loving kindness. And the only choice that I have if I'm right with Him is to treat Him the same way and to love Him and to be faithful to Him and run to Him instead of the very thing that'll kill me.